Welcome to the live weekly message from the auditorium at Encounter. You may not be here in person, but you are still part of the family. Our speaker today is author and lead pastor Michael Rice.
With me to the book of John, chapter number 7. Let's pray, church. Father, we're thankful that you're here. And where you are, there's the potential for greatness, for miracles and salvation and deliverance and direction. We're thankful, God, that as you settled yourself into here, you've prepared a place for us in the presence of our enemies, and you've encouraged us to come and dine. I just pray, Father, that I am able to unburden this message in a way that honors you and blesses you. And yet, Holy Spirit, let's be real. It's you. It's all about you. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. John chapter 7, beginning verse 32. The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him being Jesus. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. You shall seek me, and you shall not find me, and where I am, thither or there you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, You shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Can you say amen? You ever been misunderstood? Anybody? James is the mayor of Misunderstoodville. You ever misunderstood somebody? I was 17 years old, my last year of high school. I went to a football game and picked up a young lady to take her out. I'm driving my 65 Mustang convertible. Boy, wouldn't I like to still have that car. I sold it for $700. But we're driving to go from the football field to the pizza place where everybody's going to gather, and there was construction in the road there in Medina, Ohio. Like the road out here, it was a three-lane road, and so they were doing constructions on two of the lanes. And so they had a police officer at each end of the construction zone, and they were controlling the traffic back and forth. I'm driving up through there with this girl in the front seat, and I see the police officer, and he's doing this with his flashlight back and forth. Now, I don't know what that means. I thought that means just go past. And so I'm driving up maybe 20 miles an hour or so, headed towards him, and I get over in the left-hand lane so I can go around him, and when I did that, I see him go, he's moving the flashlight faster, and I thought he was saying, go faster. So I thought, well, okay, and I sped up a little bit. And then he's frantic with the flashlight. So I take my foot off the gas thinking, what's his problem? What is he trying to say? And he's real vigorous with it. And I've slowed down to about 10 miles an hour, but I'm in the next lane over, about to go through the construction zone. And at the last moment, he jumps in front of me, shines the flashlight in my eyes, jumps up on the hood of my car, grabs the top of the windshield, and he screams, "Stop this car!" And so I did exactly what he said, as quickly as I could. He should have been holding on better. Okay? He should have had a better grip, because the last I saw of him was his flashlight going one direction and him going, ah! How many can just imagine, he wasn't in a good mood when he came over to my side of the car. I was respectful. I said, I'm sorry. I said, you confuse me. He said, this means stop. And I don't know how that means stop to you, but that's not what I got. I got, do you see me? I got, hurry up, get around me. Ruined my date. She just wanted to go home. Even with modern technology, we can be misunderstood. I was driving along using the Siri speak to text, and I'm headed home, and I asked Gail Beth if she'd like to go out to eat tonight. She said yes. And I said, where would you like to go eat? And she answered back. And again, I'm driving, and I keep looking at my phone mounted on my dashboard, and she names two restaurants. And so I go, which? Like, which one do you want? Siri is trying to ruin my marriage. Because Siri took the word which and put a B in front of it. I didn't know that. And I'm driving and I look to see her answer and it said question mark. And my thought was, as most husbands, why can't she just decide? Okay? And I'm afraid to tell her which one I want, then she'll pick the other one. But I can't tell her the other one thinking then she'll pick the one I want because I'm lying. And so I sent a question mark. And she sends two of them. I'm thinking, what is her problem? And so finally hit it, and I read back and see why. She's questioning why I called her the B word. Honestly, it was Siri. I wonder how many times we've misunderstood God. Seriously. I wonder how many times we've misunderstood. In the conversation with Gail Beth, Siri's the one that intercepted and messed up the message. The miscommunication of the flashlight going back and forth. The message sent wasn't the message received. And we do have an adversary. We do. Your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have an adversary that is putting B in front of words. That is using the confusion of the flashlight to... If I were to ask you, what is it God wants to say to you? What would you respond? if God were to walk into here and stand you up and look you in the face, if he were to come to your home in the privacy of your home, wake you out of sleep, if he were to find you alone in your prayer closet and he were to talk to you, what would he say? Can I tell you how you answer that question tells you a lot about where you're at with God? If you think the first words out of his mouth are, stop. If you think he would address that sin in your life that you've been wrestling with, that you haven't yet got victory over, if you think that the first thing he would say to you was stop, it says something about where you're at with him. What if he were to walk into the same circumstances and his word to you would be start? How many think that? Be start. Just do something. You feel like you're in the mess because you haven't done the right thing. Anybody ever been there? And what if he came up to you, would that be the first thing he would say would be to start? There are people hearing my voice, whether here in person or online, that you know if God showed up to your place and began to talk to you, he'd be mad at you. And what do we do that people are mad at us? We avoid them. And so, quite possibly, you are convinced that God's mad at you. And that'd be the first thing out of his mouth about how mad he is at you. But don't mishear me. God can get mad at us. But if that's the first thing he would say to you, that tells you something about where you're at in your walk with him. I worked at a factory, and in that factory, I worked around sulfuric acid. It was not the most enjoyable job. I'm sure it was bad for your health. I know that the sulfuric acid mixture was so strong in the air that just every few weeks, the shirt that I would wear to work would start to fall apart. It would just start to, little holes in it, and it would just, because of the acid in the air interacting with the shirt. So I'm sure whatever I was breathing wasn't doing. And there was a gentleman there who was older than I am. He was from South Vietnam. And his name was Loc Tu, L-O-C-T-U. And I was, even though we had somewhat of a barrier in language, I was talking to him about God. And one day I said to Loc Tu, I said, you know what, Loc Tu, God loves you, man. And he turned and looked at me and his face snarled up and he says, God hates Loc Tu. And I said, why would you say that? And he told me a story. He was one of the higher officials in the South Vietnamese Army. He said he was on the second to the last helicopter from Saigon that left our ambassador's residence there. And Loc Tu looked at me and he said, I have failed my country. I failed my country. People are dead because I failed. And he hit himself on the chest several times real hard. And he said, God hates Loc Tu. God hates Loc Tu. I've known people down through the years that are sure that God hates them, because they fail God. They fail God, they've let him down, and they're sure that God hates them. Where are you at? What would God say to you? Can I tell you that whatever response of a negative nature that you come up with is probably what's keeping you from coming to Him? And you just don't understand. There's a lot of times God invites us to come in Scripture. A lot of times. I even looked it up in preparation for the service, and the number of times it said was so many, I didn't believe it, so I didn't write it down. I can't believe He asks us that many times to come. He tells us to come to Him for salvation. Come to Him for healing. Come to be filled. Come to be protected. Come to be fulfilled. Come to be hidden. Hidden under the shadow of the Almighty. He invites us to come when nobody else understands you. You ever been there? He invites us to come even when we don't understand ourselves. He invites us to come when everything's going right. He invites us to come when everything's going wrong. He invites us to come when we're doing things right for the most part, and He invites us to come when we're not doing things right. He invites us to come when we're being blamed for everything and we did nothing wrong, and He invites us to come when we're being blamed for everything because we did everything. And you know what? When you invite somebody to come, you're saying something. I grew up in a home that construction was the thing. And so I learned about houses, and I've always been intrigued with houses and architecture and how they have different eras we went through. And there was a time in America, and you built your house in the city. Go look at any older city. The older houses, they always had these massive big front porches. Didn't they? And people would sit out on the rocking chair and sit out on the front porch. And they did that so as the neighbors would go by, they could talk to them. The front porch was almost an invitation. It was normal to make sure that there were more chairs on the front porch than there were people in the house to sit in them, in case a neighbor came by. And that's just what you did. It was an invitation. As long as I live, I will never ever forget the little girl at our bus ministry that we would go out and pick up on Saturdays. We had what we called Saturday Sunday School. We'd send out 6 buses and fill them with kids and bring them to church. And every Friday night, you would go and visit every house. Took a lot of labor, but that's the only way to get it done. And most of these homes are a mess. And you'd go to the houses, and you'd visit with mom and dad for a minute and say, we're going to pick up little Johnny tomorrow. Will they be ready at 10 o'clock? Make sure and do your best. And we visited every house. And on Friday night, we went to a house of this little boy and little girl who came faithfully. And the house was a very troubled house. Knocked on the door, and there was no answer. The neighbors next door saw our team knocking on the door and came over and said, they're not there. And we asked what happened, and they said, mom and dad got arrested. They were dealing drugs, and they're gone, and the kids are in children's services now. So that news was brought back to our team, and we prayed. Because if those kids ever needed us, if they ever needed God, They needed him now. I don't remember what it was. 2 weeks go past, 3 weeks goes past. And our team was out to visit a house. And when they parked the car, they couldn't park right in front of the house. They had to go quite a ways down the street to park. And so they parked their car. And they were making their way to the house that they were going to go visit. And as they got close to the house, a house in between, all of a sudden they heard a little girl start yelling, "I told you they would come! I told you they would come!" And this was the foster home where this little girl and little boy had been placed. And she had told them, "Those people will find me, and they will come for me." And she was sitting out on the front porch on Friday night because she knew that's when we go out and do the visitation. And she's telling her foster parents, "I told you they would come. I told you they would find me." When you invite somebody, you're telling them something. You're telling them, "I want you closer." Amen? Don't miss this. You're telling them, "I want you closer." You're telling them, I want to tell you something. My wife and I we're still bad about it. Our house isn't that big. But one or the other of us will get to the other end of the house and then remember something we wanted to say. And so then you hear off in the other room somewhere. And then it's, "What? I can't hear you." I've gotten into a place now because I know her, man. I'll hear her talking in the other room. I quick go in there. "Hold on. Did we just make a deal about something?" Because she'll do that to me. You're inviting somebody to come closer because you want to tell them something. You're inviting them to come closer because you want to give them something. Last night as I was praying, God just kind of dumped this into my spirit, and so I want to share it with you. To be in his presence fixes a lot of stuff. And a lot of stuff is broken because we haven't been in his presence. And so the simple message this morning is, I think we overcomplicate this sometimes. And I'm being a pastor, I spend time with other pastors, and man, they've gotten good at overcomplicating things. In the setting we just read, Jesus is in the temple. There's a lot of people there. He says some things that they don't understand. And a discussion brews. The people, the religious people that should have known better, they don't understand what he said. They're sending people to arrest him. Other people are sitting around talking about, what did he mean when he said this? And where is he going? Is he leaving the Jews? Is he going to the Gentiles? What does he mean we can't go there? We could go there if we wanted to. What does he mean where he goes, we can't go and we can't find him? we can always find him. And this discussion is going on. What is he talking about? What does he mean? Do you get the flavor? And we know that Jesus knows their thoughts before they ever express it, because he's demonstrated that throughout the Gospels. And so he's hearing that rumble in his head about all this confusion. What does he mean? Where does he go? Is he going to the Gentiles? Is he leaving us? Is the people that run the church now that are wanting to arrest him, are they right? Is he a fanatic? Is he crazy? Or is he really the Son of God? He says he's God. He's God in the flesh. And what do we do? Where do we go? And the Bible says, let's read it. Verse 37, and Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come." It was a very visceral response to what he feels happening in the room. You ever wanted to tell somebody, read the room? You ever been in where somebody's just, they've totally misunderstood what's happening in the room? There's no misunderstanding here with Jesus in this moment. He sees all the discussion, all the confusion, all of the bickering, and all of the talk, and he wants to just set it straight. While everybody's sitting down and eating, and the talk and the chatter, he stands up in the crowd, and the Bible says he cried out, "If any man's thirsty, come." What would God say to you this morning? Would he tell you that you need to stop it? Would he tell you you need to start it? Would he tell you he's mad at you? Would he tell you that he's disappointed in you? I think I know what he would say. Come. Just come. Quit making it so hard. Quit making it so complicated. There was the parable of the sower that gave seed to some guys, and they went out and they sowed, and then they came back to him. You remember the parable? And the first guy had multiplied it this much, and the second guy had multiplied it this much, and the third guy came back and said, "Here, dude, here's everything you gave me. I didn't lose any of it." He said, "I did that because I know you're a hard man." There are many people today, they stay away from God, and they stay away from being used by God because they think he's hard. And it can be hard to serve the Lord. But there's always a reward. And it's always protection. And everything that happens to me is Father filtered. You don't do anything to me unless my Father says it's okay. And so Jesus just stood in the midst of them and said, "Man, if you're thirsty, just come. Just come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." But that started with the invitation, just come. Just come. And if you hear nothing else this morning from the heart of God, hear that. No matter whether you're serving him or you're not serving him, just come. This week I watched a video of it wasn't a quote-unquote Christian video, but a Christian had posted it to their Facebook page. And it was of a transsexual influencer. This person has gobs and gobs and gobs of people following him. Who's now a her? At least that's what he would say. And in this very raw video, he says, "Now y'all don't just be, listen to me. Now don't think I'm going off into religion and all that stuff, but I got to tell you what happened." And he talked with that feminine lisp that, you know, that they do. And he said he was going through a tough time. And he said he went to bed. And he woke up in the middle of the night. And he said, it felt like something was kneeling on my chest. And he said, I looked, and I'm looking in the face of a demon. And he said, I tried to cry out, but I couldn't cry out. And I thought about this, and I thought about that, and I tried to push it off of me, but I couldn't push it off of me. It was staring me in the face, and it was mocking me. And I didn't know what to do. He said, and I cried to Buddha, and nothing happened. He said, I don't know where this came from. Now he's crying. I don't know where this came from. But I go, Jesus, help me. And he said, the demon left. He said, y'all, I don't know what to do with this now. Nothing I had made it leave. And I called on the God that I knew, and it did nothing. And so I called on the God that I don't even believe exists, and the demon went away. If God will take a demon off the chest of somebody like that, it's because he understood something that some of us in the church have made so difficult. Just come. Just come. That's your only part in it. Well, what do we bring? Just come. You want us to bring snacks? No, the meal's prepared. Just come. Gather up all your mess. Just gather it up. Put it over your shoulder and just come. Just bring it to him. Don't try to figure it out. Don't think you got to clean it up or fix it. Just come and bring it to him and just throw it at his feet and say, Father, what do I do with this? I'm broken and I'm undone. And you don't understand, but in that moment, it's now begun to be fixed. You say, but it's all my fault. He knew it was anyhow. Before you came, he knew it was all your fault. You're not telling him anything. And if you've done it 100 times, then he knows that. If you promised him 200 times you would never do it again, he knows that already. If you can't figure out why this happened to you, he knows all of that. He knows what they did. He knows why they did it. He knows how it affected you. He knows what you're going through. He knows when it's your fault, and he knows when it's not your fault, and none of that matters to him. He don't need a preacher to get involved. He don't need the church to get involved. He just says to you and I, just come. Just bring it to me. They that come to God, nothing happens until you come to him. Nothing happens until you come to him. They that come to God, they that come to God, we talk about the believing part and all of that stuff. I want to tell you, just coming to God is a belief. Just come to him and just bring it to him and put it in front of him. And I want to tell you, the first thing he's going to do is comfort you. Even when you've been the one that messed it all up. And then he'll pick through the mess of the garbage that you brought to him. And he'll say, oh, I can use that, which was meant for your evil. I'll use it for your good, and I'll get the glory out of it. Oh, son, daughter, my heart pains for you that happened to you. And I can't go back and change the historic reality of what happened to you. But here's what I can do. I can take that which was meant for your evil, and use it for your good, and put it back. But none of that happens until you come. I can't tell you the number of times in my life I've gone to him and sat down and said, God, I don't even know what to say. And that's all it took, Tracy, that's all it took. The times I've gone to him and said, man, God, I've really messed this up. I've really, really messed this up. But I took it to him. He cannot be Lord over anything that you have not given him. And by coming to him, you get into his presence. It changes things. It changes things. His presence changes things. The atmosphere changes. Everything changes by his presence. They that come to God must believe that he is. If you don't come to him, you're saying, I don't believe. Let's be honest for a moment. If you owe $10,000 and I said to you, I've got $1 million in my pocket. If anybody has need, come on up here and I will give it to you. If y'all sat back there and looked at me, it's your own fault. Amen? You didn't come because you didn't believe me, because I promise you, if you believed me, you'd bowl me over. I don't have $1 million. If you need 20, I'll help. But if you know that he is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ever ask or think, but it's according to the power that works in us. What's that power? Just come to him. Just come. My coming to him means I believe in him. And just keep coming and coming. Back to him, back to him, back to him. Because he will reward those who diligently seek him. You can't test the waters. You have to dive in. Would you stand to your feet this morning?
Hi, friends. How are you? Wow, what a powerful message today. Powerful. And today you might be wherever you're at in this world, and you have maybe the same questions that Pastor talked about. God, what am I to do? Where am I to go? How do I answer these questions in me? Four-letter word. Come. Come to him. There's nothing that he doesn't already know. He already knows the fight that you're in. And he has the answer. And it all starts by you saying yes. Whatever it takes, God, whatever it is, I'm coming to you because I know that you are my Redeemer. You're my Savior. And you have the answer nobody else in this world has for me. So I will run to the place that brings me hope. I'm going to pray for you right now. And right now, come to him. Not with just words. Words are easy. We live in a social world. But come with your heart. Come to him with your heart and say, here it is, Lord. Here is what you already know, but here it is. I'm telling you, here it is. And watch him. Watch him change it Christ the righteous. Touch my friends. Touch them, Lord God, as they grapple, Lord, with the answer. And the answer is you. And help them to know that they can come, not just today on a Sunday, but at Tuesday morning at 3 a.m., you're there too, and they can come then. They can come every day. When they wake up and they're still struggling, they can come to you, and you will help them overcome, because you are the answer. You're the ignition that turns this car around. And I pray in the name of Jesus that they would just say it with their heart, I'm coming, Lord. I'm coming. I'm coming to you, and I'm going to trust in you. I thank you for that truth. In the precious name of Jesus Christ the righteous. Amen. Hey, thanks for coming. Hey, we'll see you Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, come to him. Tuesday, come to him. Just come. That's the only requirement. May the Lord bless your day. Amen.
Thank you for joining Michael Rice, lead pastor at Encounter. More messages from Pastor Rice are available on our website, www.wreckedbygod.com. On our website, you can subscribe to our regular podcast or on iTunes. Find us on Facebook under Encounter.